And the Black Film Center and Archive isn't the only place on the IU campus where one can peruse recorded materials from years past. Indiana University's Archives of Traditional Music is a treasure trove of rare recordings dating back to the 1890s. Songs from the Congo, dances from Nepal, and the sounds of extinct languages from around the world are just a few of the holdings from among the ATM's 110,000 items. Ethnographic researchers and folklorists the world over routinely use these items in their research, but they may not have them for much longer. The old recordings are decomposing and are rapidly becoming unplayable. Artwork's Adam Schwartz visited the archives to find out what's being done to preserve this priceless legacy before it's too late.
Yeah, a little tour, give you the lay of the land here.
Sure.
Mike Casey, the Associate Director of Recording Services at the Archives of Traditional Music, takes me into their vault in the basement of Morrison Hall.
This is the Archives of Traditional Music vault. This is where all the recordings are kept. We have 110,000 recordings dating from the 1890s up to the present.
He shows me shelves filled with boxes of wax cylinders, aluminum discs, and reel-to-reel audio tapes.
It's obviously a special room. It's climate-controlled. Temperature and relative humidity are controlled, with a direct link to the physical plant. So
the items look safe in this climate-controlled, fire-protected vault, but while the vault protects the items from external dangers, it can't protect them from internal ones. Many of the items in the ATM's holdings are chemically degrading, and once they degrade, the content on them will be lost forever.
Particularly some of the formats like lacquer discs are failing catastrophically. With the lacquers, we're literally in a race against time.
It's a race they might lose. The ATM is preserving what it can, but there's only so much time and money to do it in.
Mark, this is Preservation Studio number one. This is Mark Hood, who's our chief audio engineer.
Hi. Hello. How are you?
Mark Hood is on the front lines in the battle to preserve the ATM's collections. The former radio DJ, now audio engineer, sits at his workstation in the ATM, converting lacquered discs into computer files. Today, he's digitizing a disc recorded in the New Jersey Pine Barrens in 1939.
No one really knew how these would age when they were first made, so in some cases, discs like this spontaneously lose their suppleness in their coating, and they suddenly fracture and peel off of the aluminum substrate, in which case all the information is lost. We can never put it back together again.
The lacquered discs degrade because they were treated with castor oil to soften them for recording. Over the years, the castor oil evaporates and the lacquer shrinks. But the aluminum base underneath keeps its size, and the lacquered disc cracks and peels. According to Mark Hood, the cracking and peeling can happen without warning.
Lacquer delamination is often very surprisingly sudden. It plays today great. You open it up tomorrow and it's in pieces.
The first thing Hood does when he gets a disc is to examine the grooves under a stereo microscope to become familiar with its unique wear pattern. Once he knows the wear pattern, he chooses a stylus from among 13 custom-made models that are laid out in front of his turntable.
And by using the microscope and some calculators that I have, I get a good idea of what will be a good fit between a stylus and the groove on this particular lacquer.
If he gets a good quality playback from the disc, he'll create a digital file of the recording, and the disc will never have to be played again.
All alone and alone, she spied two little babes a-playing ball down by the greenwood side.
Part of the,
This reel-to-reel audio tape has sticky shed syndrome. The tape is shedding oxide over the playback heads. The ATM has a way of getting a clean playback from a tape with sticky shed syndrome. It bakes it in a scientific incubator about the size of a large microwave oven.
This is where we heat them up to around 128 degrees Fahrenheit for about 8 hours for the kind of tape that we're working with. One particular kind of open reel tape. You can't bake any kind of tape because you'll destroy some kinds of tape if you bake them.
Then there are the videotapes and digital audio tapes in the ATM's collection. They pose yet another kind of headache, obsolescence. The tapes are in playable condition, but try finding a U-Matic or a Betamax or a 2-inch open reel videotape machine to play them back on.
15 or 20 or 30 or 40 video standards, each which requires its own playback machine. And there's no market for any of those machines, so you either have one or you'll never find one.
The ATM makes tough decisions about which of its endangered items to save first. According to Mike Casey, they ask, what collections are falling apart the fastest.
Which ones are most at risk? But then we look at how valuable the collections appear to be to researchers or to the communities from which they came. And so what happens is that collections that are most at risk and most valuable rise to the top of our list, and we try to do those first.
Would it be possible for the ATM to digitize all the endangered items in its collection? Yes, but it would take about 60 years.
We don't have 60 years to do this work, so something has to happen.
That something could be more grant money. The ATM's preservation work is funded by grants from the National Endowment for the Humanities, and the archive is now on its third NEH grant. Unless they get more grants, their preservation work will come to a halt. For WFIU's Artworks, I'm Adam Schwartz.
You neither dressed as coarse nor fine, down by the greenwood side.